The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello there, thank you very much for joining us for this week's Postcast. It's Bruce Millington in the company of Racing Post colleagues Graham Rodway and David Jennings, as well as Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. Here's what we've got on the show. Baid, one of the poster boys of flat racing, is the headline topper. He puts his record on the line in the Lockinge. Eight rivals take him on. We'll see if the lads can see past him. We've got three other races from Newbury on Saturday on ITV, as well as three from Newmarket. And on Sunday, it's the French 1,000 and 2,000 guineas cachet bids to follow up her Newmarket win over there in Paris. We'll see what else the boys fancy. We'll get their naps. But first of all, with so much water having flown under the Classic Trials Bridge this week, I just want a quick word from the lads on where they see the Derby and Oaks value now. Start with you, G-Rod. Interesting few days.
It was really good, wasn't it, the last 2 days at York. And I thought that both of the winners of the York trials had great chance of going on and winning at Epsom. Bruce, this week, coming into the week, we were really searching for a star or two to light up the season and light up the Derby and light up the Oaks. And I think we got two stars. Not only was Emily Upjohn absolutely fantastic in beating, I think also they think quite a bit of it, Charlie Appy's in second, but obviously Desert Crown coming out after just one run, and he was flying through the finish line yesterday. He'd definitely improve for a step up in trip. I suppose just whether they both go around Epsom would be the concern, but that's always one of the big talking points going into the Derby, and really there's no reason why they shouldn't. So yeah, I'll be with both York winners, Bruce. I like them both, Emily Upjohn and Desert Crown.
Okay, DJ, do you concur with that? Or what did you make of Stone Age? He was decent, wasn't he?
Yeah, I do concur. I was in Ballydoyle on Monday, and Aidan O'Brien left us in no doubt whatsoever that Stone Age was the best of his and that Ryan Moore was definitely going to ride. And kind of wasn't overly excited about the whole Derby picture. And then, lo and behold, Desert Crown comes out and does what he did yesterday. And there was two parts of the performance that I loved about Desert Crown. I loved the part maybe from the home turn at York to maybe the two marker, where he just oozed class and travelled all over them. Like, he really did look by far the best horse in the race. But what he did from maybe 200 yards out to the line, I think even impressed me more. I know he veered a little bit to his right, but it was really kind of a sign that, oh God, this fella's learning. Oh Jesus, he's really getting it all together. And it was in those last 200 yards where I just said to myself, that's the Derby winner. Leon will tell you more. We get handed these slips after races by Boyle Sports and their competitors. And usually you're not really that surprised by a price. It's usually much shorter than you think. So I watched the race at home beside my dad and I said, I reckon he'd be about 7-4 for the Derby after that. And the first price that came out, I think, was 130 or 3-1. And I said to dad, I said, that's unbelievable. I said, I thought he'd be much shorter. And lo and behold, that price lasted a couple of minutes. So I think he's your Derby winner, Bruce.
Leon, what do you make of it? I know Boyle Sports are 2-1 Desert Crown and 3-1 Stone Age. I mean, Stone Age was decent, wasn't he? But were you blown away like G-Rod and DJ were with Stouty's horse? It's quite cool that Stouty's got a Derby favourite again, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant, Bruce. It's exactly what the race kind of required. Great Michael Stout has a favourite now, bottle 2-1, as you said. And you'd have to be taken by only his second race course appearance. As DJ said there, he just oozes class. The most interesting and I think the most important thing that Stout said about him was his temperament. And he's going to need that at Epsom because he is still a baby. I mean, it's only going to be his third run. And Stout believes he's going to take it all in. So I think that's a big, big vote of confidence because some horses do lose their race before they get down to the start at Epsom. Stone Age, the time was very quick, extremely quick. It won't have been quick enough to win a number of the past champion stakes we've had at Leopardstown. So you've got to respect that performance. But I think Aidan's going to run probably, what, 5 or 6 in the race. The great Vincent O'Brien always said, if you run more than one, you haven't got one. So I think Pizbadil, I'm just interested in him, Bruce, at the prices. They think so much of him. He's a 10-1 chance at the minute, but Desert Crown deserves to be favourite. Emily Upjohn, I wasn't as taken by her victory than I was by Desert Crown. She is a very short price favourite at 5-4. I think that's on the short side. Frankie was eulogising about her in terms of it's more her kind of being a little bit ready to get on with the job instead of kind of pulling too hard. She still pulled away at the finish. The mile and a half should suit her, but she's a big filly. She's absolutely massive. So Epsom will pose a couple of problems. I'm interested to see how Tuesday gets on in the Irish Guineas. Aidan is following the exact same route as he did with her full sister, Minding. She's only going to turn 3 in June. She was a late foal. So interesting that he's going to get another run into her before she goes to Epsom. I'd still stick with her over Emily Upjohn.
Excellent. And DJ, just a quick word before we look at the weekend racing. There's no reason why Richard Kingscote shouldn't be riding Desert Crown, is there? And I mean, if he does, I can't think of a jockey that I would sort of take more pleasure from winning a derby, because I think this chap's been underrated throughout his career. I think he's a brilliant jockey.
Yeah, I do too. No, sure, Ryan is going to be riding Stone Age, so he's definitely going to get his chance. And he's really cool. Like, even after the race, being interviewed, like, you think he's after winning an unbeaten colt that's now favourite for the derby. He's won the Dante, and you're going, he's going to be really kind of high and emotional after the race. But he was so chilled. Like, it was like as if, you know, he was made for the big stage. And yeah, I'm delighted that he's getting finally a chance to prove himself on the biggest stage of all.
Couldn't agree more. Right then, chaps, let's get stuck into the TV action. We'll start with the 1:35 at Newbury on Saturday. They've got 7 races on the main ITV channel. And this one is a 6-furlong listed race. It's the Bet Victor Carnarvon Stakes. Boyle Sports go 11-4 Tiber Flow, 9-2 Hierarchy, 5 Eras, 6 Cadamosto, 8 San Maximus, and 9-1 Bar. You can start, G-Rod. Kick us off with a winner if you can.
Yeah, I just hope so, Bruce. I do fancy one in this. I think that the favourite's obviously going to be hard to beat, but he's got a lot of form over 7 furlongs, and I wonder if that might be his trip in time. So I'm quite keen to take him on with a horse that I tipped and backed last time out at Ascot, and I thought he ran very, very well without winning, which has been the story of my week this week so far. Horse is running very well without winning, but hopefully this one will. Hierarchy for Hugo Palmer and Kieran Fallon. It was beaten behind Go Bears Go in what I think they basically term as the Commonwealth Cup trial or something like that at Ascot, on what they call Royal Ascot Trials Day. Go Bears Go just swatted him aside, but he made some good late progress on the stand side row, and I think that time might tell. That's going to be fairly useful for him. That Go Bears Go was obviously not far off a Group 1 horse last season. I think that they also improved for that reappearance run. Hugo Palmer's been absolutely flying since Chester. He kicked off with a couple of good winners at his new local track, and yeah, he's going along nicely. So let's hope Hierarchy can win the first, the 1:35.
Thank you, G-Rod. Leon, who's your selection?
Bruce, I mean, I suppose if Tiber Flow can convert his all-weather form onto turf, I think he's going to be very hard to stop. But he's short enough around about the 11-4 mark. And I thought Eras would have to have a big, big chance in this particular contest, Bruce. That form that G-Rod is talking about with Go Bears Go, he was 3.25 lengths behind him at Ascot in the middle of it, or sorry, towards the back end of April. And I just thought Eras, I think he could be the one for me. It's a very tentative selection. This is a tricky enough contest, Bruce. I think he's a 5-1 chance, but it is a tentative selection in this. I think any one of the first 4 or 5 in the top end of the betting could win this. It's very open, and you're taking a big risk if you back the favourite on its all-weather form.
Okay, are you tentative or confident, David Jennings?
Well, something bizarre is going to happen here, because I'm going to agree with Graham Rodway. So I don't know if I should be worried or delighted. I like Rodders, with Hierarchy, I think there's just something in this horse that makes me think that he could be a really, really top-class sprinter. if you go back to that Mill Reef, like, it was a pretty incredible display. I know he was beaten by Wings of War, but I remember fancying Dabab in the race for John Gosden. And Dabab was a little bit unlucky, but Hierarchy really blew the race apart, kind of two out. And I just wonder, will they just let him roll this time? Because he was kind of held up on his comeback in that Commonwealth Cup trial. And I just wonder this time, will they just say to himself, he's had that run under his belt, he's race fit. He comes here with his best performance, I thought, coming in the Mill Reef when he was allowed just to do his own thing under Rushy Murphy. I just wonder if they let him blast off. I don't think they're going to catch him. I think he's very quick and I think he's going to be a really good sprinter this season.
G-Rod, you must take great umbrage at the fact that David Jennings is so uncomfortable agreeing with you, don't you?
Yeah, he certainly didn't seem too keen on the idea. Let's hope that it continues to happen, because there's nothing more that's more fulfilling, is there, than, you know, hearing DJ say that I've stole his thunder every time.
Oh, I know. He hates it, doesn't he? Right, let's move on to the 210. It's the Al Rayyan Stakes over 1.4 miles. It's a Group 3, and Boyle Sports favourite here is Eschada at 11-4. And then it's 7-2 Fox's Tales, 4 Scope, 9-2 Illarab, 11-2 Without a Fight, and 15-2 Outbox. Just the 6 runners, but like a graded race at Monmoor or Brough Park, it's fiendishly difficult, isn't it, Leon?
Yeah, look, it looks wide open again, Bruce, but I'm going to give the nod to Eschada here. Obviously won the Filly and Mares by a short head from Al Bafora on Champions Day at Ascot, won a Group 2, was second in the Ribblesdale. And I tend to forgive a horse a bad run at York. It can happen. It's happened to many, many horses down throughout the years. So I'm going to forgive that and go with the Roger Varian train favourite. I just think might be a little bit ahead of the rest. And as I said, Group 1 and a Group 2, second in the Ribblesdale, good enough for me. So I'm going to go with that one.
Who are you going to go with, DJ?
Yeah, I'm an Eschada fan too. I thought she actually achieved quite a lot in a very short space of time last season. Like, all she did was win a Nottingham Maiden by a neck at 2. And then last season, she kind of progressed through the ranks quicker than we thought she would. She was obviously a little bit disappointing behind Snowfall in the Yorkshire Oaks, but in that Filly and Mares race on Champions Day, there was no fluke about it, because if you watch the race back again, she really travelled with zest. Like, I didn't think she was going to finish out her race, and she actually battled and stuck her neck out to beat Alba Flora. Snowfall was obviously beaten in third, but I just said to myself, this is a filly now that could do really well at 4 and 5, and she's already rated 114. I know she's rated a pound below Scope, and she has to get but Scope has given her £3. And I think on that performance at Ascot last year, if she's able to get near enough to that level here, even maybe 80, 85% of what she produced there, I think she's going to be very hard to beat. I think she's getting better.
Righty-ho, do we have 3 votes for Eschada, Graham Rodway?
No, we don't, no. No, it didn't last long, did it? DJ and I agreeing. No, I've been burned a few times this season already on horses that are just basically the best horse in the race but aren't ready on the day. I think Minzao would be a good example of that the other day at York. I think that they had their eyes on a race coming up at Ascot next month and not necessarily that bothered about winning at York. And I think that that might be the case here with Eschada. I think that she is the best filly in the race, but I just wonder whether, you know, tomorrow's really the day when they're going to have a fully revved up. You know, it's a long season to come. There's lots of big prizes to be won with her. So I think she's worth taking on, given that she's favourite. Now, the one that could beat her if he wanted to was Fox's Tales. But, you know, he just comes across as a bit of a bone idol kind of horse. And I'm not really sure he wants to go and win, really. And I'd rather back at the prices Outbox. I think that he's a horse that does like to win. And he does try really hard. He might not have the raw talent of some of these others. But I think he's got more resolution, certainly, than Fox's Tales. Complete outside of the field. It just might be his day tomorrow. And then, yeah, in time, obviously, Eschada will go on and be the best of them. But maybe not tomorrow.
Righty-ho, the 2.45 at Newbury is the Bet Victor London Gold Cup. It's a handicap over 1.2 miles. And Paul Keighley always used to impress upon everybody the need to follow the form from this race, because it is full of horses that have gone on to prove themselves decent tools. A couple of examples from recent years being Defoe, Time Test, Cannon Chase. So good horses only generally need apply for this one. Another wide open race, Boyle Sports go 4-1 Israel. Excuse me, 5-1 Mr. Big Stuff, 6 Surrey Mist, 13-2 Red Vineyard, 9 Wineglass Bay, and 11 Bar. DJ, no one's going to steal your thunder here because you're going first.
I love one in this, Bruce. And he's 11-1. I like Inverness for Charlie Hills and Kieran Schumerk. Right, with Inverness, in that Derby trial at Epsom, I was kind of interested enough in him, but not like overly intrigued because I knew he wouldn't be good enough for that. But I just wanted to see what he was able to produce. And I have to say, others might watch the race and think that he ran poorly. He was only sixth. He was beaten 5 1/4 lengths. But I actually took plenty of positives from the run because he kind of made up his ground with United Nations. And I never thought Kieran Schumerk was entirely happy with where he was. And once his chance had gone, he didn't really kind of ask him to try and get competitive or try and get placed. I liked what he did kind of from the furlong pole to the line. I thought he was finishing out his race well. And then you say to yourself, well, hold on a second. He's still only rated 89. Like, United Nations won the Derby trial at Lingfield, and this fella was up his backside. United Nations is now rated 109. Now, you can say that O'Brien's take a massive leap forward from the first start of the season, and that's exactly what United Nations did. He didn't run near to a mark of 109, but I think Inverness is going to take a massive step forward too. And I think it's actually a blessing in disguise what happened in that race at Epsom, because I don't think Inverness got to show what he was truly capable of. And the knock-on effect that is, he's going into a handicap now off a mark of 89. Like, he is definitely better than that, even if you go back to his maiden win at Goodwood. Again, I thought he did really well to win. He got up close home to beat Educator. And, like, Educator is a horse who came out and won a handicap first time out this year at Newmarket. So the form of that is quite strong. I think Inverness is a really well-handicapped horse. He's 11-1 with Boyle Sports, and I can't wait to take a bit of that.
When you do that, I never, ever don't back them. You go into that mode where you're so persuaded. If you were a lawyer, I'd be like, yeah, whatever he's arguing, or barrister,
a lawyer, the whole country would be in jail.
No, not... Well, really? Oh, are you like that, are you? No, yeah. You're a forgiving type when it comes to horses running badly, so perhaps you'd be similarly forgiving to people who commit crimes. Who knows? Anyway, we're glad you're not a lawyer because you're very good at what you do. And you've tipped Inverness. You're going to agree with that one, G-Rod?
No, I'm not going to agree with that one. not at all. Okay. It took an awful long time to make a case for us. I really don't think can win, but we will see, won't we? I thought the favourite was the bet here. Yeah, Israel for John and Faye Gosden. Yeah, I mean, finished behind Educator, the horse that DJ was just talking about. But yeah, I think we're talking about a different sort of Educator to the one that... Inverness was coming up against last season. I mean, he's kind of a big sort of old. He's the sort of horse who's going to improve this season, Educator, and I think he did when he beat Israel. And Israel did absolutely everything wrong that day at Newmarket. I was there, and made a mess of the start. Didn't appear to handle the dip, and then came home quite well to finish third. Very lightly raced. This track will definitely suit Israel better than. Newmarket did, the breeding's all right, Muhara. And the dam is Tegruda, who, of course, was a very, very good filly for John Gosden herself, won the Oaks, didn't she? So, yeah, quite confident that Israel will get the job done.
Proof that there are more than one way to preview a horse race. Now, Leon, before you say anything else, you've got to pronounce this word in Graham Rodway's accent, H-O-R-S-E.
Horse.
That's a good effort.
I'm going to go against the two boys here, Bruce. I like Red Vineyard. Has been a few quid for it. It was tens. I think it's into 6.5-1 now, 13-2. I thought he was very good on debut, albeit a pretty mediocre race. In fairness, you would have been disappointed if he had been beaten. And I just think second time out on soft ground at Newbury wasn't to its liking whatsoever. It finished last of 7. But then it bounced back and at Sandown in April over 1.25 on good ground. And I just think there's a little bit more to come from Red Vineyard. He's only £5 higher here for that win at Sandown. I thought he was a great bet at 10s. Obviously, a few quid has come into 13-2, but I still think there's a good bit of improvement in Ren Vineyard. I think he's only rated, officially rated 83. I'd be surprised if he can't go a lot higher than that. So that's my one. So three different opinions in a very, very open race once again.
Inverness for DJ. He's very confident. G-Rod, sort of confident on Israel. And Leon thinks he's sussed Red Vineyard. Right, without further ado, the race of the day is the 320 at Newbury. It's the Al Shakab Lock-In Stakes, a Group 1 over the straight mile. And the brilliant Baid, unbeaten Baid, puts his 6-race record on the line against 8 others. He's 2-5 with Boyle Sports. And then it's 6-1 Mother Earth, 13-2 Real World, 12 Alcohol Free, 18 Chindit, 20 New Mandate and 33 Bar. And we're back with you, G-Rod, to go first. Is this pretty simple? Bai just wins?
Well, yeah, he should win, shouldn't he? And he's the star in the race and he's very, very exciting. But got to be opposing him at 1-2, I think. Got to be taking him on.
It's a nice each-way feel, this race, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Boy, 9 runners, yeah. So, looking good. If you're looking for reasons why he could get beat, it could get tactical, this race. I don't see anything that's going to go out and set a good pace. And watch the race that Baid won back last year at Ascot. You know, he's fairly keen through the early part of the race. You know, so if they go no pace and he gets a bit lit up in behind, who knows? Obviously, he's the most likely winner. But, yeah, I'll be back in Real World each way against him. I thought that Real World would be suited by a sort of tactical race, really. He's that kind of horse, isn't he? He's got a good turn of foot, and he was rapidly improving last season. I mean, when he won at Longchamp, he beat some useful horses. The Revenant was second in that. Yeah, he's coming in off a couple of crap runs in Dubai. But, I mean, he didn't run that well in Dubai last year and then turned up in Britain was a revelation in the summer. Yeah, I just think that there might be a little bit of each way value here against Baid. Yeah, Real World.
Okay, right, you finally got there. Leon, what do you think? First of all, just from a bookmaking perspective, is Baid a favourite that you're kind of running scared of as a company, or do you think you might tomorrow morning see which way the wind's blowing and start trying to lay him a bit?
I don't think you're going to really be running scared of him, Bruce, because his price is short enough. I'm sure he'll be thrown into a couple of ACCAs maybe over the course of the day. But look, he's a real superstar. He's 6 from 6. For me, I cannot wait to see him step up and trip. I think he will be able to win over a mile and a quarter this year. Somewhere like the Judmont back at York in August would certainly be a race that I'd be looking at for him. I hope he wins, because I think racing needs superstars, and he certainly is one. If you were looking for something to finish second, I think you've got to go with Aidan's filly, Mother Earth. Yes, she wasn't great on her seasonal reappearance, but I think she'll be a lot fitter for this. She's obviously a Guineas winner. She always runs a really, really top-class race. She was second in a Falmouth. She's been to every dance last year. So this is only her second run this year. And I think she will be second to the favourite. I just don't see anything else really getting involved. I think Mother Earth will finish in front of Real World, if I'm being honest. So that's for me, the favourite to win with Aidan's filly second.
Okay, and presumably, Leon, there will be a fairly buoyant betting without the FAV market, won't there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm sure there will be plenty of people who don't want to get involved in a 2-5 chance. And even people trying to back each way on a 6-1 or a 13-2 is not for them. So without might become popular tomorrow.
I should think so. David Jennings, how do you assess this?
Yeah, sure. Baid is highly likely to win. He's a very good horse. Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh on Palace Pier for everybody to be saying, oh, we've been crying out for this absolute outstanding miler. Like, Palace Pier was very good, and he seems to have been lost in all this talk about top-class milers. With Baid, you know, you'd imagine there should be more improvement to come at four, given we didn't see him at two. Very good last year. I know he beat Palace Pier by a neck at Ascot in the QE2, but, you know, really and truly, throughout the final furlong, there was only going to be one winner. So I thought he was valued for a little bit more than that. He's going to win. He's the right price. He's won fair multiples, and I think I'd be very surprised if he's beaten. The one that I'm very, very, very interested in without is Alcohol Free. I was staggered by the drift on this filly at Sandown. It was astonishing, really. Like, for a filly to be 8-13 and 4-7 and go off 7-4, it was an alarming drift. And Andrew Balding, you know, made no secret of the fact, and even in his pre-race quotes, that she was going to improve a ton for the run. And if that is the case, and you can take that at face value, it was a really, really promising run, because Lights On won the race and it was a little bit messy. Sunray and Major kind of got there and then didn't really go through with it. And I just thought it screamed that she was going to leave that run well behind. And on rating, she's rated 117. Like, she's rated £3 better than Mother Earth. And both of them have had plenty of time to prove their ratings. Like, we've seen loads of them at three. And after the three-year-old campaigns, one was rated 117, one was rated 114. I think Alcohol Free will come on a ton from her return. And the difference in price between Alcohol Free and Mother Earth is absolutely baffling. Like, one is 14-1 and one is 5-1. That's bonkers to me. And I'll be interested to see the betting without market. I'm going to have a look now while you go on to the next race and see if there's any betting without, because I think Alcohol Free will be second.
Jolly good. Thank you, DJ. That was Newbury. Newmarket coming right up.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. Three ITV races from Newmarket on Saturday coming up next, starting with 150, the Denbury Homes Fairway Stakes, a listed race over a mile and two. Here is the latest betting from Boyle Sports. Seven runners, 13-8 Fav Ottoman Fleet, 100-30 Zane Surrender, four Groundbreaker, four Post Impressionist, and 12 bar. Leon, have you had a look at this one? And if so, who have you unearthed?
Yeah, look, Bruce, it's a big step up for Ottoman Fleet for a second run to go straight into listed company. He was quite free when he was second at Newbury behind a stable companion, Natural World. He obviously went off favourite that day, so he was a beaten fav. Buick was on board. And to throw him straight into a listed contest on only a second run, I think it could be a tip in itself. Charlie Appleby at Newmarket, the one to give him most to do, probably would be Groundbreaker. I thought it was a very, very good win last time out, having had two runs on the all weather to go to Doncaster over a mile and a quarter and win very, very easily indeed. He was a 5-4 favourite that day. He beat Surrey Knight by four lengths. But I just think this favourite, Team Blue at Newmarket, Charlie Appleby, that'll do for me.
Who are you going to go for, David Jennings?
This is going to be one of these days, Bruce, where it's going to be a Beano or an absolute blackout for me, because I really fancy one of this as well. I like Post Impressionist for William Haggis and Stevie Donoghue, an underrated jockey in my opinion. He's already gelded. He was actually gelded before he ran at all.
Who, Stevie Donoghue?
For Stevie. Post Impressionist, just to clarify, Post Impressionist and not Stevie Donoghue has already been gelded. But all his form is working out really well. Like, Barley beat him on his debut, and Barley came out first time out this season and won a handicap at Doncaster off 86 and is now up to 89. The maiden that Post Impressionist won at Ayr, the third horse Dubai Leader came out and won next time. Quite impressively too at Windsor, and the fourth horse home was Celestial Star for Keith Dalglish, who was just beaten a neck in a Musselburgh maiden as well, a 10-1. So the form of that maiden is working out really well, and he was really well on top of the line at Ayr. I love how much he found off the bridle. That was a mile. Like, from the furlong pole to the line was when he was doing all his best work. He's crying out for a step up and trip. He's up to a mile and two now. He's out at Teofilo. but he actually cost 260,000 guineas as a yearling. But in his pedigree, there's plenty of stamina in the pedigree. His dam, I think, was placed in a group race. I was looking at this yesterday, and I think she won over hurdles as well. So there is stamina in the pedigree. And I was surprised when the betting was chalked up on this race. I was surprised he wasn't much closer to Tottenham and Fleet in the betting. I think post impression is going to go very close, Bruce.
Cool. Follow that, G-Rod.
Yeah, there's only seven in it, and the two lads have tipped two horses that I don't fancy. So we're going to end up going for three different horses in the same race. But I really fancy Savvy Victory, a huge price. I just think this is one of the bets of the whole day.
20-1 with Boyle Sports, G-Rod.
Yeah, this is just a wrong price, 100% wrong price for a start, because the last time out Piece of Form is among the best on offer, finishing third behind Changing the Guard. I mean, yeah, a lot of these are unexposed, but I don't think Savvy Victory truly stayed a mile 4.5 furlongs that day at Chester. He was very, very slow over the last 3 furlongs of the race, but he was mixing it with Changing of the Guard and New London, wasn't it, was the other horse. So it was going, went into the race quite well fancied for the Derby for a while. Before that race, I had texted someone telling me that Sean Woods really likes Savvy Victory and he could be a flyer in that race. And I ran out all the figures and I said, well, that horse has got 5 of the bottom 7 figures on my list in the race, so I can't be backing that. But it actually performed quite well, I thought, as a result. So I'm happy with that piece of form. The previous form, he won over a mile and a quarter, which of course is his trip. I think that might be more his trip. Sean Woods, the trainer, as I say, absolutely flying form as well. Everything that Sean Woods runs at the moment, either wins, finishes second or third, they're all running really well. New Bay, the sire, has got a super record on the Newmarket Rolling Mile course for some reason. I don't know why that tends to happen. Like, there's certain sires, aren't they, who have great records at certain tracks. I think Scat Daddy at Ascot is one, isn't he? And it's the wrong price. It's just the wrong price. It's just the wrong price, Bruce. Savvy Victory. You know, it's got among the, that last time out form is among the best piece of form on offer. Can't believe it's that price.
Blimey, I'm confused now. Might have to have 2 or even 3 bets in the race. Let's see if there's any more clarity and unity among the boys thinking for the 225 at Newmarket, which is the TRU7 handicap. Over 6 furlongs, 10 go to post, and Boyle Sports go 100-30, Leah Special, 7-2 Haymaker, 6 Harry 3, 15-2 Ernie's Valentine and Pocket the Profit. And it's 8-1 bar, and David Jennings is going first.
No, this is a nightmare, Bruce. This is the one race that I found really tricky. I did think the one that was overpriced was Pocket the Profit, and nothing went right at Chester. It was probably the only race that didn't go really well for Ryan Moore. Was still travelling well, turning in, but just kind of was too far out of his ground and never really got to ever given that day. I'd imagine he's a bit better than that. He's been
that boy's some trainer, isn't he?
George Bowie.
Yeah,
I love him as a modern day trainer. He's exactly what you want him to be. He's got loads of charisma. He you know, every question you ask him, he gives you an honest answer to, and he really he brings you into it. I'm a big fan, and I love that new kind of genre of trainer. I think the game has changed a lot. And I love the fact that they're giving us more info. But
you've got to be careful, though, because not every young trainer is like that. And I'm not going to name names, but there's one or two who've got a little bit full of themselves. But this guy, George Bowie, understands the need to promote racing. He's very honest with his horses about his horses' chances, you say. And I think he's a proper breath of fresh air. G-Rod.
No, yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, that for me is all I ask of most people in life, you know, is, you know, if I ask you a question, just give me a straight answer. You know, that's all I want. It's incredible the amount of people in horse racing who don't seem to be able to give you a straight answer to a straight question, isn't it? But George Bowie is one of those who will. And I think Ryan Moore's had an absolute stinker on this horse on both of his last two starts. I mean, Ryan Moore gave the horse far too much to do at Newmarket 2 runs ago. when I backed it. All right, maybe I'm pocket talking, but I can tell you he was well out of his ground in that race at Newmarket. And then last time out at Chester, when Ryan Moore was riding the lights out, this was the one horse that he gave an absolute shocker to. I mean, he was drawn wide, he dropped it out, pushed it, pulled it to the inside, and before you know it, the front runners were gone, and he was miles out of his ground, and he couldn't get anywhere near Ever Given. The horse just hasn't been able to show his best form in his last two starts because he's been given poor rides by one of the best jockeys in the world. However, if he comes back to the form that he showed at Pontefract when he bolted up by 4 3/4 lengths in an absolutely out of this world time for Pontefract on soft ground, he'll win this. I'm going to stick with him, pocket the profit. We've got Hector Crouch taking over from the great Ryan Moore tomorrow. So let's see what Hector can do.
Okay,
That's two races that myself and Rodgers have agreed on. Two races.
Well, are you putting that up as an official tip now then, DJ? I thought it
was a tricky race. Out of all the ones we're previewing, I thought it was the most tricky, but I thought Pocket the Profit was definitely the one that was overpriced. So I'm just wondering now that I'm starting to agree with Rodgers, am I going to start agreeing with him on cachet?
We'll find out. But first, we better get Leon's thoughts on the 225 at Newmarket. What are they, Leon?
Full house, Bruce. We're all with Pocket the Rocket. Yeah, look, I mean, I thought he ran well here at Newmarket in a way far better standard class two in April. I think this is a little bit weaker. I think he was 10s, maybe 11s with ourselves. A few quid has come. I mean, he was only 11-4 that day back here in April. So, yeah, for me, Pocket the Profit gets a good ride. He wins.
Jolly good. Right, then also at Newmarket on Saturday on ITV is the Birkett's LLP Handicap over 7 furlongs. And Boyle Sports go 3-1, Shine So Bright, 4-1, Salim, 4, Wizard D'Amour, 6, Quintillus, 9, Bull Ace, 12-1 bar. How many runs we got here? We got 11 runners. There's some difficult races on Saturday, G-Rod, aren't there? Or do you think this isn't difficult?
No, yeah, I thought this was really difficult, Bruce. It was probably the hardest race that I looked at. Yeah, we were all kicking ourselves when Shine So Bright won last time at Newmarket, weren't we, after it drifted out to 9-2.
Not all of us, mate. Some of us actually defied the drift. Yes. Yeah.
And never be put off by a drift.
The bigger the drift, the bigger the price.
Yeah, that's right. I thought maybe Quintillus, just on the Appleby. Obviously, you know, everything he runs at Newmarket seems to win. It's coming in off a bad run at Maidam, but like I said, with Real World earlier, there were a few horses last year who didn't really show their best form in Maidan and then suddenly just took off during the summer for Godolphin. And yeah, I mean, this horse won a handicap. I think it was on the July course at Newmarket last year. I thought that maybe Quintillus would be the one. I can just see it happening again. How many times have we seen it? These Godolphin colours coming home in front, in second, in third, in Newmarket races.
Lots. Leon.
It was Quintillus or Shine So Bright, Bruce. I didn't back Shine So Bright the last day. Only gone up, what was it, £4 for that victory. So still gives it a bit of a chance to win again. But at the prices, one is 3-1, one is 6-1. I mean, it's a horrible race. It's so hard to try and work it out who's going to win this. So just at the prices, Appleby at Newmarket, just slightly go with Quintillus over Shine So Bright.
Is this yet another example, DJ, of you copying G-Rod?
It is. Unbelievably. I can't believe this. Genuinely, yeah. I went back. You can forget the run at Maidan in that Lister race because he was drawn in 10 and never really got into it and was always kind of, you know, never really in the right place at the right time. But I go back to that Britannia run at Ascot. And he was sent off 28-1 that day. Perotto won it. But in the Britannia, right, he traded a 3.3 in running. And the only surprise about that was that he didn't trade shorter. He absolutely tanked through it. If you stop the tape, we still call it tape, but I don't know. If you pause the skybox, if you pause the skybox two out, you say there is only one winner of the Britannia, and that is Quintillus. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, he should have won the race. I don't know. Maybe he should. And maybe he didn't fully see out the mile that day. But he's back over 7 now. he rounded off his campaign last year by winning over seven at Newmarket, where he absolutely sweated buckets before the race. He was keen the whole way through the race, and he still managed to hold off Maxi Boy. That was off 97. He's only £2 higher now. If he didn't run at Maidan, and I always think you can kind of forgive horses who run at Maidan because it's different type of racing, different style of racing. Everything is different. It's hard to describe what's different, but it just is different. And if he didn't run at Maidan, there is no way he would be the price he would be now. He would be favoured. He's 6-1. I think he'll go off about 7-2.
Thank you, DJ. I still say to my kids, oh, God, have we taped it? Or can you tape that for me? And they go, absolutely mad. Oh, yeah, I'll just get the VHS video recorder out of the garage. They don't like it. Loads and loads more betting wisdom to come.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Right then, we've done the ITV Saturday action, but there's loads more racing this weekend. There's no fewer than 9 meetings. Bangorundi, Newbury, Newmarket, Wexford, Navan, Thirsk, Chelmsford, Uttoxeter, Doncaster. What else have you got for us away from the TV cameras, David Jennings? Don't give your nap away.
I won't, no. An interesting race. There's a listed Irish Stallion Farms EBF Yates stakes at 4:25 at Navan. I'm working at Navan on Saturday, and I'll be there. It's very tricky because there's a few in here that I have plenty of time for. But the one that I'm going to side with, actually, is Celador for Joseph O'Brien, who interestingly goes from a maiden at Dundalk, where she was beaten by Lily Pond, who was second to Tranquil Lady last week at Nace. But he goes from a maiden at Dundalk straight into a listed race, which I thought was interesting. Now, Cordigo Joe, I was fancying last time at Navan, but I don't know. She's not the filly I thought she was going to be. And I think with Celador, that run at Dundalk was quite eye-catching. I liked the way she stayed on. She seemed to get the hang of things very late. And Lily Pond, I thought, ran perfectly respectable last week in that race at Nace. So Celador, I thought, was very interesting for Joseph O'Brien. He seems to have an abundance of top-class fillies in that 4:25, that Yates Stakes. And one other one as well from me at Navan, Bruce. In the finale, the 5:35, Cougar for Aidan O'Brien and in the Tabor Silks. Ran well against Glory Days in a maiden at the Curragh last time. And Glory Days has come out since and franked the form by finishing second to Stone Age in that Derby trial at Lingfield. And the third that day was Waterville. So the form of that maiden looks quite strong. And I thought Cougar was one of these typical three-year-old improvers from the Aidan O'Brien stable. So I'd say he'll take the world a beating in that 5:35.
Thank you, DJ. Are we going to go to your local track, G-Rod?
I was just about to say, yes, off to my local track, Chelmsford, for a couple of bets there on the Saturday afternoon, isn't it? Yeah, not the evening. Sometimes we get the evening, but yeah, the afternoon. The 3:10 at Chelmsford is a 1.6 handicap. Did they leave you out too? Which was quite a useful hurdler for Nick Gifford as been switched to the flat. Last time out, he ran at Goodwood and he ran in a race that was won by Super Super Jack. Super Super Jack came out and won next time out at Ascot last week quite easily. The runner-up, Orange Swift, is a really good all-around Goodwood and I quite strongly fancied him in that race. And he was given an enterprising ride. Did they leave you out too? Apart from Super Super Jack, who of course is a subsequent winner, did the best of those to come from off the pace in that race. So if he can take to the all weather, then I think that did they leave you out too can win the 3:10 at Chelmsford. The other one I like that's got a really good draw around there, obviously very important around Chelmsford to be drawn towards the inside, particularly on the straight track, is City Walk in the 3:45, the following handicap for Sobeys.
They haven't got a straight track.
No, they don't. They're going to have a turf track there, aren't they, at some point?
You said on the straight track. They haven't got a straight track.
Oh, did I? Sorry, yeah, I meant the round course. But they're building a turf track, you know.
They are. Yeah. It's
going to be on the inside.
Yeah, it's going to be very tight, that, isn't it?
I mean, that's going to be like an American track. Yeah, it's going to be like, you know, if you're drawn in stall 15, you might as well go home. Anyway, City Walk, yeah, runs in the 3:45, drawn in stall 2. Saeed Bin Saroor's flying along. Pat Cosgrove rides, lightly raced. I think the horse will be well suited by the weather. He's one of his best runs came at Newcastle. He's lightly raced in the all weather, but he's got a sort of, his Brazen Bow is his sire. Exceed and Excel is the dam. It's kind of like an all-weather pedigree. I think he's got more to offer on the artificial surface. That's number one, City Walk, in the 3:45 at Chelmsford. A little Chelmsford double on Saturday afternoon, Bruce. Can't wait.
Lovely. Leon, have you got anything else, or are you going to keep your powder dry for the French guineas and your Saturday nap?
No, just looking at one, Bruce, at 4:30 tomorrow in Newbury. There's going to be probably an odds-on favourite in the Gosden Frankel filly Nashua. Holly Doyle is going to ride that one. But I think the second one in, well, I'm hoping it's going to be around 9-2, 5-1. Mukadama, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Or Mukadama, maybe.
No, I think Mukadama is absolutely perfect, Leon.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the daughter of New Approach, trained by Roger Varian. I thought it was a very good run to finish second at Ascot on the kind of Royal Ascot Trials Day behind Grand Dame for the John and Thady Gosden. Ryan Moore rode that one that day. This is a mile and a quarter, so it's a step up of a quarter of a mile, but I think that will suit. So I'm going to go with that one at around about 9-2, 5-1 in the 4:30 at Newbury.
Thank you, gents. Very quickly, before we get the naps on Sunday at Longchamp, we've got the French 1,000 and 2,000 guineas. The fillies go first at 2:15, 15 in that, and then the 16 colts go to post at 2:50 for the French 2,000 guineas. DJ, who's going to win?
The 2,000 guineas, I would be actually interested in the Acropolis for Aidan O'Brien, who... last year, he seemed completely baffled by how disappointing he was running, because he was working as good as any of their two-year-olds in Ballydoyle. But that was a real eye-catching run, I thought, at Leopardstown in his comeback. So at a huge price, I thought the Acropolis was very interesting. And I would absolutely 100% be against Cachet in the 1,000 guineas. Graham thinks she's the second coming. I don't. I think
what's wrong with Cachet, DJ? Come on, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. Like, I read your piece, and I just, like, if Cachet ran against Coribus, like, there's no, in my opinion, there is no comparison between the two. I'd be in Coribus every day of the week. I just thought with Cachet, you know, she did her thing. You know, the ground was slightly quicker. She got out in front, and yeah, like, she did extremely well to win, and I was absolutely chuffed for George Bowie. But I thought it was a case of being in the right place at the right time and picking up a winnable race, because in behind there were quite a few excuses. To me, I think she's vulnerable here, and I think she's could be vulnerable maybe to Toy. For Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore gets a good draw in stall 5, but I'll be taking on Cachet.
DJ, G-Rod, put David Jennings right. Why is he wrong to besmirch Cachet?
Well, you're just doing what everyone's done, aren't they? Oh, you know, all the right horses came to the fore in the 2,000 guineas, so that must be a good race. And all the wrong horses came to the fore in the 1,000 guineas, so that must be a bad race. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. Yeah, all right, the times were slightly faster on Sunday. But I thought she did it very well. It's not very easy, you know, to make all in a 1,000 guineas in the way that she did. And I must admit, about 2 furlongs down, I thought, well, she's in all sorts of bother. They're just all going to come past her. And then, you know, and she stayed on really strongly, because I thought she'd gone too fast. And if anything, this track should really suit her, shouldn't it? Cachet, if she can get out and across from stall 10, that's the issue, isn't it? A double figure draw. She is the now filly at the moment. She's right at the top of her game at a peak right now. And she can run hard for a long way, which is not always not a lot of horses can do that, if you know what I mean. Go hard and keep going. And she's tough, genuine, very game. I think she is definitely the one to beat in the French guineas. And I hope she goes and does it. And I would definitely fancy her to beat Caribus were they to meet.
I hope you're right, G-Rod, to be honest with you.
Because I knew you were going to say that. You like Bowie, don't you?
I do like Bowie, and I like you. So, I do hope you're right, but I think you've got this one wrong.
But okay. What about the just the 2000? Just quickly, the Rouget horse is very interesting, isn't he? Trained by a Rouget. Now, Rouget has this thing where he runs when he runs horses in Group Ones in Longchamp. He likes to do nice little quiet prep, little small group race, little listed race, and then bang into the Group One and they win. And he's got this horse called Well Well, who Christian DeMuro has ridden on every single one of his starts. I can only imagine that the owners have jocked him off and put Christophe Soumy on Well Well. Now that looks like a tip in itself. However, I can't possibly back Well Well and then watch the other Rouget horse come in under who? Christian DeMuro, who's ridden Well Well on all his starts. So I'll be backing both of the Rouget horses in the 250. One's called Lasso and one is called Well Well.
Thank you very much, Gerard. And finally, Leon, your Guineas thoughts.
I think Cachet, wordy favourite. Great if
what
she
price
can
is
do
she?
It.
I can't find any prices on this race.
Well, I think she will be favourite, won't she, Bruce? Unless, I mean, she's the English 1,000 Guineas winner. I mean, she's going to be right up the top end of the betting. Has to be. But the word from Ballydoyle is all around Toy. I mean, everyone is barking about Toy. How much of a high regard that she's held in down there. She won at Cork on yielding to soft. Is it going to be a little bit of give in the ground at Longchamp, they're saying, for Sunday? I think this Toy could be anything. She's going to have to step up massively. But if you listen to what they say about her, she's really, really, really good. Another one by Galileo. So I'm going to go with Toy. And in the 2,000 Guineas, oh, God, don't really know. The Acropolis.
You can sit that one out if you want, mate.
Well, the Acropolis, I couldn't really have him. I mean, Emmett McNamara was on him last time out at Leopardstown, outrun his odds. Maybe he'll step forward. Maybe, like his DJ said, I'll give it to Modern Games, maybe. The Charlie Appleby horse, I'll give him a bit of a squeak, but won't be having a bet in probably either of them. Might be tempted if Toy's a bit of a price, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Leon. Right then, chaps, if you are only having one bet this weekend, who would it be on?
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with Leon Blanche.
I'm going to go with Pocket the Prophet, 225 at Newmarket. Tomorrow, Bruce, I mean, as the lad said, especially G-Rod, terrible ride at Chester, gets a good ride, should win this race.
Thank you. David Jennings?
Oh, sure, Bruce, I may as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb. Inverness, 245, Newbury. All week I've been kind of dying to back him, and he's 11 to 1 with Boyle Sports. I think a mark of 89 is a fair way short of the ability he has. So Inverness, 245, Newbury.
Lovely stuff. And finally, G-Rod.
Yeah, very difficult for me to choose between two. I do think Hierarchy will win the 135 at Newbury, but at the prices, Savvy Victory has to be the better bet. So that's the nap. 150 Newmarket, Savvy Victory.
Beautiful. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Thank you, producer Ben. Thank you most of all, though, for listening. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Maddie's back on Monday to look back on an enthralling weekend. And then we're back next Friday for another podcast. Hope you can join us for those.
The podcast brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.